Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
Was a meme going around on social media recently in the Pittsburgh area showing the top cities for transit utilization and clocking in, I believe, at number 17. I sound like Casey Kasem there for a second. Was Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, one of the smallest metro areas with the largest transit utilization, something like 17% of commuting in the Pittsburgh area done on public transit, and something like one in four city of Pittsburgh residents don't even need to own a car because they use transit. So much. At the same time, the National Weather Service has issued an advisory that they think the upcoming summer is going to be one of the hottest, if not the hottest, in recorded history in the United States, and the Northeast, including Pittsburgh, is expected to be hit by that. What do these two things have in common? Laura Chu Weens is on the line with us. She's the executive director of Pittsburghers for Public Transit. She had an op-ed in the Tribune Review on Tuesday the 23rd that good transit policy also makes good sense from a climate and energy policy standpoint. I want to ask her about that and also ask her about progress in transit in the Pittsburgh area. Good morning, Laura.
Hey, Jay, thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure to be back.
Well, it's always good to talk with you because I know that one of the heaviest areas for transit utilization is right in the Mon Valley. I believe it's the Homestead zip code 15120 is one of the heaviest in the county. Is that accurate?
It's actually one of the heaviest in the state. In fact, it is the highest percentage of residents that commute by transit in the state of all municipalities, which is kind of amazing when you think about the SEPTA system and the entire Pittsburgh region. And it certainly justifies increased service and better infrastructure for public transit for the people that are reliant on the service, even as the quality may not be the best.
We'll talk about that in a moment, because I know your group, Pittsburghers for Public Transit, has held the Pittsburgh Regional Transit Board's feet to the fire, and also the mayor of Pittsburgh and some other elected officials' feet to the fire. Tell us, first of all, before we get too into the weeds, what Pittsburghers for Public Transit is.
Yeah, thanks. We are a grassroots union of transit riders and transit workers organizing for expanded, affordable, accessible public transit in Allegheny County, although our work has really been taking us to the state level and even beyond as we push legislators at our state level to invest in transit service, which would benefit residents in all 67 counties in the Commonwealth, as well as in the federal level to invest in transit operations and transit service, which they have not historically done. So we are excited to help lead the way in that work. And I'm happy to hear that Pittsburgh makes it into the top 20 cities for transit usage. And I think it's just worth noting that in the statistics that you mentioned, they only measure commuting by transit, right? So they're only talking about people that are going to work. But you think about the constituencies or demographics of people that take public transit, and it's also youth, it's also older adults, it's people with disabilities, it's people that are unemployed, and they're not just taking work trips. So I'm curious, I'd be curious to know where Pittsburgh would fall if we were actually to consider all of those other things too.
So there, it's people going to church, going to the doctors, going to temple, going shopping, whatever else. As you mentioned, we have a large senior citizen population, especially in the Mon Valley, which we know a lot of retire-in-place folks who transit is their lifeline to the doctor, to the store, to social activities.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, we know that public transportation, public mass transportation is super, super important for all people's needs. And I'm happy to talk more about how transit serves those needs. But just to say that we have been working very hard with members of the food justice community, like Just Harvest and the Pittsburgh Food Policy Council, around affordable fares. And that you would think that that's not an issue that's in their wheelhouse, but they've identified public transportation as one of the top issues that is keeping people from being able to access fresh foods and vegetables. And so that's why they're invested in having affordable transit fares in our region.
I want to talk more about that. I also want to, for our listeners in Braddock and McKeesport and on those radio stations, WEDO and WZOM, I want to talk specifically about issues relating to the Mon Valley transit routes and to the East Busway. But before we get to that, I want to ask you about the opinion piece that you published in the Tribune Review on the 23rd. Talk to us a little bit about that. Why is good transit policy also makes sense from a climate standpoint and an energy efficiency standpoint?
Absolutely. So I think that it's often misunderstood how important public transit is to the conversation around climate sustainability, right? We know that in the U.S., transportation emissions are now the number one driver of emissions that are causing climate change. So if we are not addressing transportation's contributions to climate change, then we are not going to be successful at slowing or stopping or reversing the worst impacts of climate change. And as you mentioned, April was the wettest month on record here in the region. We're looking at one of the hottest years on record. And so if we want to be serious about addressing environmental needs, we need to talk about getting people out of single occupancy vehicles. And I know that that's a really uncomfortable thing for people to hear, but we don't want it to be like eating your vegetables, right? Like we don't want it to be giving up on people's freedom of movement. It should be accessing a new freedom of movement by having really quality and affordable transportation that should be available to folks. And so that's why we are happy that Governor Shapiro has put forward in this latest budget address a proposal to increase funding to the Public Transportation Trust Fund for the first time in over a decade, right? We know that costs are increasing for transit agencies. We want transit jobs to be really competitive. And so ensuring that there's adequate funding to allow transit systems to both keep their service or improve their service, to hire more operators that with good union wages and benefits, and to be able to have affordable fares to allow those with the least amount of resources to ride. That's why that policy is really good. And that proposal from the governor is really good. And we are encouraging other legislators in the House and Senate to pass that bill. We also wanted to flag that Governor Shapiro and his leadership with PennDOT has done one other thing that's really important, but it's kind of under the radar, and it's around the federal greenhouse gas rule. Mm-hmm. And this rule, it creates a system by which states can report on how their transportation investments are going to increase or decrease transportation emissions. And so they actually have to project and set goals and targets around what their transportation emissions are going to look like. And this is a way of prioritizing good projects, right? Projects that are both good for the environment and are more efficient, right? That move more people. And we are one of, I think, 14 states that agreed to comply with the federal rule and has put forward some targets for lowering greenhouse gas emissions through transportation. And it has been an enormously successful, policy in other states, including Colorado and Minnesota, which have started prioritizing walking, biking, and transit projects as a result of having some transparency about what our tax money is going towards.
Laura Chu Weens is Executive Director of Pittsburghers for Public Transit. Can you give us your website address, please?
Sure. It's www.pittsburgh4publictransit.org. So pittsburgh4publictransit.org.
And they can find you on Instagram, Facebook, any kind of social media?
All the things. I think we're on
all
Twitter.
All the things. Do you have any events, public events coming up that you want people to know about?
Yeah, we are really this is a particularly busy time for us, but we are going to Harrisburg to support the budget proposal again for increasing funding to the Public Transportation Trust Fund. And what's great is that we have folks coming, transit riders and transit workers coming from all around the state, from Erie, from Scranton, from Wilkes-Barre, from Lancaster, from Reading, are going to be joining us because this policy affects everybody. And we know that, you know, for folks in rural or small town communities, having public transportation access is even more important, right? Like for all these older adults, for these people with disabilities that are otherwise completely stranded. So that's Tuesday. We're going to Harrisburg. So if you want to join us, you can find out more on our website.
So if they're hearing this on Sunday, it's coming up 2 days from now.
Two days, okay. Very soon. We're going to have a bus. Yeah.
We have another break coming up, but before we get to it, I want to ask you, my wife and I were just out on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and all along the Turnpike, there are billboards featuring a state senator from our listening area talking about how climate change isn't real and that the Green New Deal and the greenhouse gas rules are a hoax. I think the tagline is the Green New Deal will turn the lights out on Pennsylvania, and it's got a big picture of her face next to it. If this is such a good idea to lower these emissions, why is there political pushback, including from our elected representatives, some of them in Harrisburg?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that Big Oil wants to have something to say about this too. We know that transportation, like good transit policy, is good for workers. It's good for economies. It's good for, it's good for politicians and their constituents. So it only seems to me that there are a couple of folks like the highway lobby, Big Oil, that do stand to benefit by not having smart transportation investment policy.
Let's take a pause right there and take a breath. When we come back, let's talk about some of the issues facing the Mon Valley, including the Pittsburgh rapid transit that's going to impact some of the buses out of the Mon Valley, and also the extension of the East Busway. The on again, off again, on again seems to be on again with the current administration, so that seems like it's good news. Laura Chu-Weens is Executive Director of Pittsburghers for Public Transit. Pittsburgh for FOR, publictransit.com is the website, or you can find them on social media.
.org.
From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Speaking of the Pennsylvania Turnpike, as we were before the break, the Mon Fayette Expressway, for our listeners in Jefferson Hills, Duquesne, West Mifflin, the construction has resumed. Houses are being torn down. Ground is being moved for the turnpike. Is there a role for public transit in that Mon Fayette Expressway project if it's moving forward again?
Ooh, well, I mean, I think it is worth. So this is why the greenhouse gas rule that we spoke about is really important, right? I think that evaluating what is the relative benefit of this multi-billion-dollar investment? How many people are going to be moved? What is the greenhouse gas impact of such a project? Where are there other projects that could move people efficiently along that corridor that would actually be better for the environment? I mean, these are questions that are important to ask with tax money.
So talk to us about the East Busway. I know you don't work for Pittsburgh Regional Transit. You are on the outside looking in, but you are one of the more informed people. Are we going to see in the next 10 years an extension of that East Busway through Braddock to maybe Turtle Creek and beyond?
Yeah, so I think there's some interesting projects. So, you know, we have been organizing for years for what we've been calling the Beyond the East Busway project, right? We did this big survey of residents and where they wanted to go and where they wanted to see transit, structural improvements to have the infrastructure in place to be able to allow buses to be able to move freely along the corridor without getting stuck by other cars or at traffic lights and things like that. So with the quality of the East Busway. And so two or three corridors emerged as priorities in that process. One of them was the 61C corridor from Homestead to McKeesport. And we fought really hard to get that, to get the extension of the East Busway from Edgewood to Monroeville to do a slip ramp onto 376 to help folks in those eastern suburbs come into the East Busway and into town, and another corridor from Rankin to Braddock to Monroeville to be created. So those were kind of the three priority corridors. All three of them ended up on PRT's long-range plan, Next Transit, and that was because riders in the Mon Valley advocated for it. And There is progress in all three of them. So planning money was secured for the Homestead to McKeesport corridor. They have been doing public meetings out there. We know that that's continuing to happen. There's also, in fact, money to improve sidewalks, which is critically important, right? Like,
if you can't walk to the bus, you can't ride the bus.
Absolutely. That's right. And so we know that there's some need for the municipalities to pay attention and take advantage of that money. So if you're listening and you're a municipal official in Homestead, Duquesne, or McKeesport, you know, jump on that, right? Like, it's not often that there's money that's just being handed out to improve pedestrian infrastructure. And we know a lot of the corridors in which these really well-ridden and very important buses are riding are not very safe. And not very dignified for pedestrians. But that's moving along. There was a huge federal grant that was secured for starting to evaluate the East Busway connection in Edgewood to McKeesport. And there's planning money for that other third corridor that we talked about from Rankin, Drew Braddock to Monroeville. So very exciting. And lots of planning processes, as we understand it, are going to be continuing through this year.
A couple of points come to mind as you were talking. One is a couple of weeks ago, I was at and we covered a meeting in McKeesport where they're talking about the very issue that you raised, which is sidewalk access. They did a community survey, and that was the number one thing that people identified was unsafe sidewalks to get not just to the Pittsburgh Regional Transit bus routes, but also to the Heritage Community shuttle bus routes that circulate around the Mon Valley area. So it seems like things are moving slowly, but it certainly seems like they're moving. The other thing is, and I think you and I talked about this the last time you were on this program, the busway is an enormous success. People in Pittsburgh may take it for granted, but people from other metropolitan areas around the world come to Pittsburgh to look at our busways, which I don't think people in Pittsburgh realize how successful the busway really is in moving people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's astonishing. It is the most important transportation asset we have in our system. It's so fast, right? Like, you can go from the outskirts of the system to downtown in 15 minutes, and there's frequent service. So it's not to be, so we need to be clear that the infrastructure is really important, but actually having quality service on the busway is really important as well. But it is the only part of our transit system that actually makes revenue for the agency too, because there are so many passengers that use it, knowing that it's such a great asset we have. We have money coming in to the agency through that service, too.
Well, and from the city of Pittsburgh standpoint, there seems like that's also where the spine of development has been in the city of Pittsburgh, has been in the communities that adjoin the busway: East Liberty, Point Breeze, Shadyside, Squirrel Hill, all those communities seeing, for better or for worse, a lot of commercial development.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point to flag, because, you know, there's a lot of, to understand what good transit policy looks like is also to talk about good housing policy and development policy, right? And I think we've been pushing that the city of Pittsburgh, in its upcoming comprehensive plan, ensure that we are mandating dense and affordable housing close to our best transit assets, like the East Busway. Concurrently, I think we should pay attention to the policy of our new county executive. I think it's good that in County Executive Sarah Namorado's action plan that they just released, she names transit-oriented development is sort of what it's called, as a priority for the county too. Because we can't, those assets don't pick up and move, right? Like, we've already spent tax money on them. We want to make sure that transit riders can afford to live by them.
The time goes quickly. We have another break to come up, but I wanted to throw another curveball at you right before the break. And that is, I noticed in the Tribune Review in your op-ed, they illustrated it with a picture of a Westmoreland transit bus. Although we have an agency called Pittsburgh Regional Transit, it, with only a few exceptions, does not extend beyond the borders of Allegheny County. We have a Westmoreland County Transit Authority. We have two, I think, authorities in Washington County. There's a Butler Transit Authority. There's a Beaver Transit Authority. Does it hold back transit progress in this metropolitan area that we don't have an agency like a SEPTA or like the Metro in Washington, D.C., that crosses those county borders and those municipal borders?
I think that even if they're not going to be under the same umbrella, it is important that they're coordinating. And especially, I think that the extension of the East Busway to places like the McKeesport Transit Center to Monroeville, having really quality infrastructure so that buses can quickly move from those outside edges of Allegheny County to the center of Pittsburgh, is important for Westmoreland Transit and some of these outside agencies, because ultimately one of the goals would be that Westmoreland Transit could drop their passengers in one of these outside nodes and then take PRT to downtown. Because right now they're crossing our entire system.
Right. But not allowed to pick up anybody. Yeah.
Not allowed to pick up anyway. Yeah. And so that's just a lot of wasted operating hours where they could be actually running more service in their communities too.
Let me ask you another off-the-wall question, perhaps. We've seen this growth of rideshare apps that we know has negatively impacted the traditional taxi service business. Is it also, are rideshare apps also having a negative impact on public transit?
I think that it was more true several years ago that that was a clear trend. I think as these, you know, because these services have operated, like ride-hailing services like Uber and Lyft have operated at a deficit. They've been running on venture capital fumes for years, right? And because we know that transportation is a service, it's a utility and not a business.
I want to go back and underline that. I want to underline, sorry to interrupt you. I want to underline that for a minute. These services do not make money. Despite the fact that they are valued at billions of dollars on Wall Street, the Uber and Lyft and these other ride-hailing apps, they lose money in the aggregate.
That's right. And so for years, they were artificially depressing their prices in order to be able to compete, right? And so to like get rid of their competitors in the taxi industry and jitneys and things like that. Now, I think their prices are starting to more closely reflect the actual cost of running the service. And so it's generally prohibitively expensive for most people to take Ubers on a daily basis. And so that's why I don't think it's doing quite as much as it was in previous years.
Let's pause right there. When we come back, I want to ask you what people can do to get involved. You mentioned you have an event coming up Tuesday. I want to talk a little bit more about that. And also this summer, what people can do to be an advocate in their community, whether it's in one of our Mon Valley communities, or I know we have listeners outside, whether it's in Greensburg or Irwin or Beaver or Washington, okay?
Sounds great.
Laura Chu-Weens is our guest this morning. She is the executive director of Pittsburghers for Public Transit, the web address pittsburghforpublictransit.org. From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes. We'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Back for a final few minutes with Laura Chu-Weens from Pittsburghers for Public Transit. You can find them on social media. You can also get involved on Tuesday. As Laura mentioned, they are running a bus to Harrisburg to advocate in front of the General Assembly for transit service. What are the details? Where do people need to be? What do they need to bring?
They should sign up on our website.
Okay, pittsburghforpublictransit.org.
Pittsburghforpublictransit.org. We have a bus, a charter bus going. We'll help with food and everything else. We're meeting at the Friends Meeting House in Shadyside at 6 a.m. to get on that bus.
Okay.
So let us know that you're coming.
Let them know that you're coming if you're going to come and wear comfortable shoes, probably, and layers. Take layers of clothing because you don't know what the weather's going to be in Harrisburg in
April. Supposed
to
be 80 degrees.
Definitely take layers then, and sunscreen possibly. So talk to us a little bit about the... there's this redesign process that's ongoing that I think you were talking about off the air. Talk to me about what public input is going to be needed in that process.
Yeah, so Pittsburgh Regional Transit is now doing what is called a bus network redesign, where this is like a once in a generation process where they decide how to change up service. And it could be completely changed from what it is now. What communities should get more service? What communities are going to lose service? What hours of the day should it run? What should it be connected to, right? And so these are huge questions, and we need riders to weigh in, right, about where things should go. I want to be clear, though, that we at Pittsburghers for Public Transit, we feel like while it's important for people to weigh in, we also want to challenge one piece of the premise of this. So they want to do a cost-neutral redesign. What that means is, like, you know, we've lost 30%, 37% of service in total in our county in the last 20 years, right? And so we are operating at a huge deficit, right? We have so much less service than we had 20 years ago. And so part of the challenge of this process is it's trying to decide, like, who gains service at whose expense, right? Like, who's more deserving of service than somebody else? And we would say all communities deserve to have high quality service. And in fact, all communities would take transit if it was available, if it was high quality, if it was like running later in the day, if it was running earlier in the morning, if it was running on weekends every 15 or 20 or 30 minutes. So we are challenging Pittsburgh Regional Transit to have a growth plan as part of this process, right? And we're calling it a visionary baseline service plan that actually meets the needs of our region and not just decides what's the best use of the meager resources that we do have currently. So we would encourage you to go to those meetings to say where you want service to go, how much more service you want to have in your community, but also say they need to have a plan for growing service again. And that can be a basis for which we can fight for more funding, right? Because with no vision, we're not going to get the funding that we need to get better service.
We don't talk politics on the show because we're a non-commercial, nonprofit show. But 3 years ago, your group said you were going to hold Mayor Ganey's feet to the fire on transit improvements. You mentioned our new county executive, Sarah Inamorato. What about Mayor Ganey? How has his leadership been in the city?
I think that we have a good relationship with him. They're, you know, resource constrained, like in terms of the number of the staff at the Department of Mobility and Infrastructure. I think we are working to get them to focus more on basic needs. And I think that that is one notable shift from the previous administration that was highly highly interested in like tech toys, right? Like autonomous vehicles, sidewalk delivery robots, e-scooters, right? Like all of those things. I think we've seen a shift away from that with Ganey's administration. What we still have yet to see and are hoping to move towards is a real strong investment in bus shelters, which is directly the responsibility of the city, in sidewalks, so that there's some real concrete steps, no pun intended.
No pun intended again.
Completing the sidewalk network by 2030, which is a commitment that Mayor Ganey made in his transition plan. And again, once the comprehensive planning process begins again, seeing that they're thinking about affordable housing and public transit and density and reducing parking and all those important sort of urbanist things in tandem. So there's still some ways to go. We have a friendly relationship with the administration, however.
One thing before we let you go, too, I wanted to mention, because I know that we can be very parochial in our Pittsburgh neighborhoods. Your group is called Pittsburghers for Public Transit. You have two board members now, at least two from the Mon Valley. You've got Fawn Montgomery from McKeesport and Nicole Nesby from Duquesne, both fierce advocates for their community. So it's Pittsburghers, but it's in the metropolitan wide sense.
Yeah, you know, we probably should have reconsidered the name a decade and a half ago. It's true. We operate at a countywide level, and many of our board members are from the county.
So people can find out more information. They can go to pittsburghforpublictransit.org if they'd like to sign up for that bus trip to Harrisburg. They need to go to the website, and probably they need to do it as they're hearing this, because you need an accurate count.
That's right. And I'll just plug one more thing. Next Saturday, May 4th, we are holding an all-day training for our members and for community members that want to learn about how to talk to press, what art making for movements looks like, how to do research about power and money and influence in the greater Allegheny County region. There's a lot of great workshops that we're going to be holding at the Friends Meeting House. Like I said, there'll be food and community, and we invite you to join us for that too. You can find out more on our website.
Laura Chu-Weens is Executive Director of Pittsburghers for Public Transit. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long for now. You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.